I hope you guys are enjoying this series we're in. I love the Sermon on the Mount. I just love it and enjoy being reminded of what's in there. So when we started this, we took 2 weeks to look at the Beatitudes. And then we looked at that bridge text, your salt and your light. And today I want to, I'll tell you more about this section that we're in right now. We're only going to spend 2 weeks there, but I want to lay it out for you so you know what's in there. And we're going to talk about anger today. We're going to talk about simmering anger. That's the name of the sermon. If you were to Google anger, in fact, go home and do that. You might be interested in what you find. You'll get a lot of posts that talk about the rise of anger in the United States and really in the world. And I have to say that that matches what I observe. It really seems like we're an angry culture now. This includes a dramatic rise in the number of hate groups that are in our world right now, really awful groups. Additionally, there's been a rise in terrorist acts and other violent acts. How does a human being do that? Don't you wonder? How do you calculate, if you're a human being and you have any understanding of God's role in your life, how do you manufacture a bomb that you're going to design to kill as many people as possible? Most people that talk about anger in the U.S. right now say, and the world, say it's because people say they feel cut out of the political dialogue, they feel cut out of an opportunity to have adequate wage and that sort of stuff. That's what you will hear. But I think whatever you hear, whatever people say about anger and why they feel justified to be angry, Matthew chapter 5 that Jake read to us this morning, 21 through 26, is a good place to start when thinking about anger. In the Greek, in the New Testament, in the Greek, there are two words for anger that you need to be aware of. One word is thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S, and the other word is orge, O-R-G-E. Thumos and orge. Thumos is like dry straw that catches fire and it blazes up and then it goes out. Gets angry and it's over. Orge, on the other hand, is inveterate anger. It's anger that is long-lived. It's anger that you rehearse in your mind. You think about it and you nurse it and you feed it. That's orge. It's brooding anger. I see a lot of that. I hear it when somebody says, I'm just never going to be able to forgive that person. You ever heard that? Don't you hate to hear that? Don't you hate to hear someone say, I have given up. I am so angry that I'm just going to nurse my hurt and I'm going to be mad at you forever. I think this is important information because it gives us a good way to think about what we just witnessed in the U.S. as well as the Middle East, as well as Brexit in the UK, and other places in our world. This information And what Jesus says about it also gives us a framework for building an understanding of what goes on in us when we get angry and how we deal with it. Now, one last thing by way of introduction to this section. This teaching, this text on anger is part of a section in the Sermon on the Mount that is called the Antecedents. And it's called that because Jesus says over and over again, you've heard, but I say to you. So the antecedents is a reference to these, you've heard, but I want to tell you more about that. I will also tell you that I think, even though this sounds like he's quoting the old law, the Ten Commandments, I really think Jesus is quoting the religious teachers. I think that's what he means when he says, you have heard. And the reason I say that is because the very last of these antecedents, Jesus says, you have heard, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That is nowhere in the Bible. So who's he quoting? Well, it must be the religious teachers. What you will find in the antecedents is a human twist on the teachings that God gave us. It's human take on how I'm going to apply this in my life. So Jesus begins each of these instructions at where the teachers, the religious teachers, had drawn the line. The standards that religious teachers had set, always lower than what God wanted. You can almost hear them say, in the case of anger, get as mad as you want, just don't murder anybody. You can almost hear that echoing in this. Don't pull out a gun, don't stab someone, don't choke someone. Don't allow your temper to get the best of you so that you do something you're going to regret. But you can just get as mad as you want to get. And if you don't want to forgive that person, that's okay. You can just hear that. In the political debate of this recent election, we saw repeated instances of how not murdering someone is not enough. It's not enough. We've seen unfortunate things said on Facebook and other contexts and angry conversations face to face. Stopping short of murder is not enough to help us build civility. It's not enough to build respect in a church, a community, a nation, or a world. It's not enough. One of the things that I know you guys hate me talking about it, but my year in ALF, the thing that I came away with was watching people disagree but loving each other even in the disagreement. It's a neat thing to watch. To see people be able to say to one another, I may disagree with you, but I still love you, and I'm not giving up on you. On Facebook, Twitter, and other social media, we saw people on both sides of the issue pouring out verbal gasoline on the simmering anger of our nation. Not an olive branch that would have produced conversation and collaboration. I reposted something on Facebook that I thought was kind of neat, and I was impressed with it. And a friend of mine in Texas wrote me back, actually Florida now, and said, "Have you lost your mind?" And it, for me, it was kind of the end of the relationship, because it was so ugly. And I wanted to go, really? Really? Jesus knew that human relationships depend on more than not murdering. Wouldn't you agree with that? Human relationships depend on more than not murdering. So I've watched Christian people saying things that alienated them, not only from their brothers and sisters, but also from the world, by their words and their awful emotions that go with them. The implication always was, I have the truth and you don't, so there. I have the truth and you don't, so there. We've really all experienced thumos. Remember, thumos is the smoldering anger that Jesus is talking about. When somebody, is not the smoldering, thumos is the flare-up. It's what you feel when somebody cuts you off in traffic. What was he thinking? And you get to Raley's and you get out of your car and you forget it. It's over with. Or somebody gets ahead of you in line and they have 30 items and you have 2. Thumos. But orge is a different matter. It's down to the bone anger. It's anger that won't go away. It's anger that wakes you up in the middle of the night. It's anger that you don't want to turn loose on of. You want to nurse it. And so you nurse it and you rehearse it. You mutter under your breath and you wish the other person harm. And if you blow on it, if you fan on it, it can actually turn into something violent. It's the nature of orge. Orge is the anger that divides churches. It causes bullying and sexual abuse. It's what feeds hate groups and militias. It's what causes a Syrian to be able to drop barrel bombs on his own people. Orge is a forest fire that leaps and plunges and devastates. It's destructive to society and churches and social structure. And I hope you've got it in your mouth now. I hope you've kind of got your hands wrapped around what Jesus is talking about. It's this orge. Well, Jesus starts beating the drum against anger. Remember, the old law said, don't kill, you shall not kill. And what it became in the hands of the religious leaders was, well, you can get as mad as you want to, just don't kill. And Jesus says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's never what my Father wanted for you. That was never in his mind. I'm telling you, don't even get angry at a brother or sister. Now he's not talking about thumos, he's talking about orge. You know, your mom gets mad at you because you left your underwear on the floor. That's thumos. You know, you didn't put your dishes in the sink and your wife gets angry at you. Thumos. Orge is a different thing. Jesus says, don't even insult a brother or sister or call him a moron. Guilty. Don't even call him a moron. Don't insult people, because when you do, you're in danger of hell, Jesus says. William Barclay said that the whole accent of this word reka in the Greek, says don't call a brother or sister reka, moron. And Barclay says that it's contempt. It's contempt. And so contempt is, I just don't have any respect for you as a human being. To call a man a reka was to call him a brainless idiot, a silly fool, an empty-headed blunderer. It's the word of one who despises another person with arrogant contempt. That's reka. This kind of rhetoric harms the person using it. It really does. And I think half of what Jesus says about anger is addressed to the benefit of the person that harbors it. You know, this kind of anger that Jesus is talking about is drinking the poison and expecting the rat to die. And it doesn't work. Anger eats us and destroys us from inside, and it turns us into something other than God's people. Several years ago, I wished I had a copy of it, but there was a Psychology Today article. It was the cover story article. The conclusion of which was that going around expressing anger, I'm so, that kind of expression, is actually detrimental to the person expressing it. Not the kind that says, I'm really angry and I've got to overcome this. That's a different kind of expression. But just where all you do is just spew and puke and express how angry and hurt and broken you are. Not helpful. One of the best examples I can give you of the solution to anger, of the healing of anger, is what happened in South Africa. South Africa had gone through generations of apartheid. And Nelson Mandela is finally, after years in this terrible prison, released from prison. And he runs for office and he wins. And of course you expect somebody who had been so savagely mistreated to come back with a vengeance and said, now we're going to get you. But they didn't. South Africa didn't do what anybody expected them to do. They started the Truth and Reconciliation Committee. And the TRC aimed intentionally to heal the breaches that were caused by political oppression. That was their whole strategy. And so the way they did that was that people who were guilty of crimes could go to a TRC committee in their neighborhood or their part of the country, come forward, admit what they had done, and seek amnesty. And you know what? They got it. They were forgiven. They were not treated the way they were supposed to be or they deserved to be treated. Is that amazing to you? It is to me. totally amazing. Desmond Tutu, also one of the leaders of South Africa, said, "True reconciliation is based on forgiveness, and forgiveness is based on true confession, and confession is based on penitence, on contrition, on sorrow for what you have done. Only together as God's family can we ever hope to end the vicious cycle of revenge and retribution." That's orge. That's what he's talking about. It's dealing with orge, putting away orge in the society of people. Jesus said that even worship is hindered by the outcome of anger. He says the only solution is to leave worship and be reconciled to your brother. Furthermore, allowing the courts into the matter, this is the tail end of that section that Jake read to us. The courts, if they're brought into the dispute, will only work to your detriment. Jesus says, work it out. The thing about simmering anger is it doesn't go away on its own. It's like an infestation of termites, and it's got to be fumigated with love, with forgiveness, confession, and penitence. A person has to be willing to swallow pride and value the relationship above all else. And I really think that pride is the big thing. It's the big piece in this whole thing of orge. Because why do I nurse anger? It's because my pride has been injured in one way or another. I deserve to feel this way, is what we say. And Jesus says, that's an alley. That's a dead-end street. It leads you nowhere. I think the big thing to remember is that when God said, don't murder, he was talking more than killing a person's body. I can kill the relationship. I can kill your integrity. You know, there's all kinds of things that I can do with orge without killing your body. I can kill your character. And ultimately, I kill my own spirit. Because most of the orge people that I know are not lovely people to be around. It destroys their character. It makes them into something that's not pretty and doesn't reflect the character of God. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the way in which you have forgiven us. Thank you for being willing to forgive in spite of all the reasons that you've given us to be angry. You have persevered in your love, and you stand ready to receive us back. We want to be that kind of people as well, always looking for ways to heal broken relationships. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.